What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Formula America podcast. We're your host, Kurt and Dylan, and today we're finally going to be able to take some time and discuss all of the Formula One news that have come out in the past week and week and a half since before the whole Miami Grand Prix. And there's honestly been some pretty big developments. We've got a former team principal suing his team. We've got some news on the Andretti. Apparently the U.S. government's Congress getting involved now.
We got Alonso making some racial comments.
Yeah, that was, not wrong. All the time. I don't know. We'll see. We'll dive into it.
And I did some research on the McLaren upgrade package. So I want to talk about that a little bit because I thought it was interesting.
Nice. Actually, yeah, I was kind of interested in that. And now they're starting to come out and say that Max had some floor damage and maybe that's why Lando is, I'm a McLaren guy. So I'm going to stick on the side that, Max just didn't have the pace regardless of the floor.
I think McLaren brought the upgrade package that was necessary for that. I mean, they showed the video where they say Max got that floor damage going over the chicane. And like, they're like, oh, you see right there, there's a lot of sparks and it damaged the floor. And I'm like, I paused it. And I'm like, I don't see any... Nothing flew out the back. Nothing.
Like, no, it's right there. It's right there. You're just not
there's
seeing
sparks.
It.
You're right, but like, I'm not seeing it.
All right. So I know you've been reading up a little bit on the whole Andretti case and what's going on there. What do you know about this?
So I mean, it's kind of interesting. Basically, Andretti went to Capitol Hill and pleaded that Formula One, FIA were violating antitrust monopoly laws, essentially. And so there was a Republican, Jim Jordan, wrote an official like letter to the FIA and it actually had some very interesting points, kind of calling out some of what in the letter he called excuses for not letting Andretti into Formula One. His first thing he said is, for example, Formula One alleged that a new team could only add value to Formula One by competing for podiums and race wins. However, the FIA has already analyzed and approved the technical capabilities of Andretti Cadillac to compete among current teams. And most current teams in Formula One do not meet Formula One standard of regularly competing for podiums and race wins. And it's like, yeah, there's been now officially as of Miami, 4 race winners in 2 years.
Right. By your own admission, majority of these teams should not be here. Right now.
And so
is basically what it's saying, calling out BS on that.
So I thought that was, pretty. Yeah, you're right. The next thing he said was Formula One also faulted Andretti Cadillac for attempting to use an existing engine manufacturer because it could be damaging to the prestige and standing of Formula One. Like that doesn't.
Yeah.
So then what I thought was interesting is it said Formula One cannot have it both ways. The truth is FIA president, and I'm going to jack his name up, and I shouldn't, but Muhammad bin Sulayem explained is that the rejection of Andretti Cadillac is all about the money.
That seems more legit.
They dove in from there. There was different things and saying it's going to hurt the consumer base and blah, blah, blah. But they're like, at the end of the day, the biggest things you quoted was the prize winnings being split up more. Like they just kind of commented on the different ways that they basically other teams don't want to let them in and split up the money. And it's all about the money. And so it should be really interesting with this getting more and more publicity and realistically kind of bad publicity when the FIA is getting called out for some of their dumber excuses. And it does make it look like it's for the money.
Well, it's Formula One. FIA approved.
You're right. I'm
Andretti
sorry.
Of coming in. This is actually Formula One, which is interesting because now you've got the U.S. government getting involved. We've got a U.S. team and Formula One, which is owned by Liberty Media, which is also a U.S. company. So I think that's why, it's a little more, it holds a little bit more weight. And it's interesting you say, it's finally starting to get publicity, because if you remember when this first came out and they rejected Andretti,
yep.
Like that news came out. And then you remember what happened the next day? Lewis Hamilton announced he's going to Ferrari. So it just kind of got, you know, swept under the rug. And so now this is coming out. So now it's kind of like, all right, it's in the forefront of everybody's mind at this point.
Well, and when this all came out last year, I mean, you and I kind of dove into what the rejection letter from, like, when Formula One rejected Andretti and they released their rejection letter, you and I actually went and read it. But how many fans actually went and read it and said, those are some really dumb excuses? Like, probably not many. Now, with the whole Congress getting involved and being a lot more paraphrased at what the Formula One said, I think a lot more is coming out that this is about the money and this is kind of a racket. And yo, WTF, mate. Like,
And you know what? When you're saying that, I think that's the reason why their initial statement was so long and so wordy, because you look at it, you're like, I'm not reading this.
Yeah.
And it was almost like they're trying to cover up the fact that it was complete baseless BS.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the Concord agreement right now has, it allows up to 12 teams. But apparently they're trying to also pass a new Concord agreement, which caps that at 10 teams. So if they can get that passed before, then I don't know, I guess maybe they have a little bit more weight to kind of deny Andretti coming in. I don't see what the big deal is. It's there. You see, we got three races here in America now. They want the American fan base.
They're talking about a Chicago race.
Right.
Which might be hard, drive by shootings, you know, all kinds of craziness, but you know, it would be entertaining.
But so it's just like, you know, what are you doing? I understand it all comes down to the money. It's always about the money.
So. It is always about the money, but at the same time, I don't see how Formula One doesn't make more money with Andretti coming into, with Andretti Cadillac joining the field. Like, there's a lot of Germans that are super excited about Audi coming in. They just took Nico Hülkenberg over there because probably partly because he is German. Like, there is, and that helps with that fan base get more involved. It's kind of the same thing here. I actually had one thing pulled up from Motorsport about, yeah, Miami has this weekend in Miami set the record for live F1 US TV audience at 2.6 million watched. I'm sorry, no, 2.6 million was the inaugural Miami Grand Prix. This one had 3.1 million that watched it.
Jeez.
Like, it's getting
3.1 million bigger. People.
It's getting, yeah. The United States is getting involved, which is a great thing for the sport. I know, you know, the Europeans probably don't think so, but it's definitely going to bring more money to the sport, though.
Yeah, and so I was reading another article on motorsport, and basically they're saying that, you know, the committee felt that arguments had been put forward about an 11th team damaging the interest of current teams. And also said basically the weak teams want to be protected from competition to the detriment of consumers, and an additional team would compete for prize money and sponsorships. So it's those smaller teams that are concerned about giving up a little bit more of the piece of their pie. You know, I don't think Red Bull and, you know, Ferrari are necessarily thinking Andretti's going to come in and immediately take out of their plate.
But Alpine, you know, you got Haas, the Haases. Williams,
yeah, Stake, those are the guys that are concerned about it. So,
and it's funny though, like, so we're currently looking at changing the point setup to allow points all the way down to 12th place because none of the lower teams are getting any points. And they're like, oh, but we want for you to come in, you have to be able to compete for podiums. But you literally have 50% of the field that can barely get points. You're extending the points. It's like, how much worse can it get? Andretti's starting off on a pretty good foot if it's competing against Alpine and Williams right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of interested in how this is all going to play out, because it almost seems like with the U.S. government getting involved, it might get them into the sport, but at what cost? Yeah. You know, like, because then it's kind of like you're pressured in, or this could also make Formula One want to like really dig in their heels and really fight against it. But, you know, you wonder what kind of, if that's going to sully the taste. So they're going to have to come in now as the bad boys, which I'm totally okay with.
Totally fine with it.
I'm all right. Yeah.
Because I mean, all right with being the bad Formula boys One Formula either One. Is already just not going to let you in. The only way in is to be the bad boy that makes your way in, which, you know, go for it.
Let's do it. I'm down for the ride. I just looked again. There is still no Andretti Cadillac Formula One gear. I want some shirts. I want some hats. They need to come out with some of it. It's not even on the Andretti Global website. So
how dare they?
All right. So moving on from that, we've also got Gunther Steiner, former team principal from Haas, who is now suing Haas Formula One. And it's crazy because it seems like this relationship has totally
deteriorated.
Gone to shit, basically. Yeah. And so he's suing them for back money that is owed, which the speculation from what I've been reading is that it might be from some sponsors that he brought in.
I believe it said commissions specifically was one of the things it said. So, I mean, that would kind of make sense from bringing sponsors and stuff.
Yeah. And also now apparently after his exit, they were still selling merchandise that had Gunther Steiner's name or likeness on it. And he's saying, hell, like, I'm out of here. You fired me. You need to take this off. And so he's suing for damages for that as well. But I mean, if you think about it, over the course of Haas itself, the one staple and the one thing that really brought a lot of fans to Haas was Gunther Steiner. Yep. He was so polarizing to a lot of people, but also so magnetic, I feel like, in Drive to Survive, that they've probably got a lot of their fans, you know, all like 150 of them are there because of Gunther Steiner.
I mean, he was offering to hug everybody in the paddock, if I remember correctly. Hug, was that the language. Right word?
What did I say?
I'll hug him. I'll hug them.
I'm going to hug him real hard.
No, I totally agree, though. Gunther was the entertainment value of what was the worst team in the sport, but everyone loved Gunther. Like, and so they had more support.
He was pretty much the only likable character from that team. And so now that he's gone, he just wants them to stop making money off him, which is good for him. You know, I'm actually, like we talked about the other day, we would like to see the dream team in commentary. You, Fernando Alonso, DC, and Gunther Steiner, get those guys together. Get them on. Like, they could just do the new Top Gear. I would watch that as soon as Jeremy Clarkson and them stop the Grand Tour. Give them a show. That would be awesome.
I would totally watch that, but they would need it to be on a platform that wasn't censored, I think.
Exactly. All right. So speaking about Haas, I want to move on to something else that I read, and this is about Kevin Magnussen. And we spoke about how his driving last week, during the sprint race specifically, he was getting a little out of hand, but he was also, you know, playing the team game. And we're like, oh, he's allegedly. Definitely earned.
Allegedly.
Right. And so I know I for one was like, oh, he's earned his spot there next year. Well, apparently that's not so solid and not as solid as I expected, because Ayo Komatsu, who is the team principal, is apparently pretty displeased with Kevin Magnussen and his driving from last week. And apparently he didn't like the fact that it's brought a lot of negative light to the team, and basically saying that while Kevin says he was playing the team game, that it was not requested, expected, or desired, which is pretty interesting. Yeah. Apparently, Komatsu's not too happy.
And that's kind of interesting, like the fact that Kevin was like, oh, I got a penalty, so now I'm going to play blocker because that worked so well last time, and no one's asking me to do it, but I'm just going to do it. I'm going to rack up penalty points and all this stuff is also kind of, it's weird that he took that upon himself. Like, I get it if it was a bit of a team order suggestion or like, hey, help Nico out. But if nobody asked for it, that was some pretty crazy driving style going on for the fun of it, I guess.
Yeah, it's not looking as good anymore. I know I rated him as one of my heroes, but it's not looking
He was one
good.
Of my zeros, told you so.
And so here's the part I was unsure about, because he's got 10 penalty points. When you get to 12, you get a race ban. So I was kind of curious as to if that just means that the driver can't race or they have to have only one car, that car and driver out. And I looked it up, and apparently it's only the driver. So they were speculating that if and or when he gets his next two penalty points and has to do the race ban, that Ollie Bearman is going to be, he's their reserve driver. He'll be the one taking over. Which will be good for him. He'll get some extra seat time in the car before next year. But in this article on Motorsport, they were speculating or basically going to say that you would think that Haas would want to have somebody that's got the experience like K-Mag in that car and then Ollie Bearman. Ideally, they would have wanted Hülkenberg and Bearman, but now that, you know, Hulk's leaving, they got to stick with K-Mag. And then that's what the whole article is about, is basically where Komatsu is saying, don't get ahead of yourself. It might not be K-Mag at this point. He has not earned his spot on that team yet. So I guess time shame. Will tell. Yeah, you brought shame to the family.
That will be interesting to see how that plays out. I think there are some really big question marks there. I'm going to segue that over to some of Alonso's comments, which I thought were warranted, and maybe not the racial part of it, but like he brought up some really interesting points that he talked with. He was apparently spotted in Miami having a chat with the Formula One president,
Mohammed bin Sulayem.
But essentially what Alonso said was he was given quite a few penalty points for quote unquote aggressive driving in China and Japan. He didn't take any drivers out. You know, he went off track. He did different things, but no one was, you know, no cars taken out as aggressive.
Well, hold on. I think George Russell would disagree with that. George Russell? George Russell wound up on his side, basically blocking.
That was horse shit. I call total bullshit on that one. George,
that was just good race.
You need to be looking ahead at the car slowing down. I don't blame Alonso for that one, but he got quite a few penalty points for all of that. Then in the Miami sprint, Lewis Hamilton comes down the inside like a bull and takes out Lando Norris, ends that driver's race, you know, kind of really messes up the bunch and was very aggressive. And Lewis got no penalty points. And so Alonso's point is like, yo, what? You're going to penalize me for aggressive driving that I thought was in within bounds. Apparently it wasn't, but that's all of a sudden okay. Like, this is really subjective.
Right. And I understand kind of his point because that's not the only one. But if he was only going off of that one instance, then I would argue to say that generally stewards are a lot more lenient on lap one turn, especially lap one turn one.
Yep.
Because there's so many cars trying to get to the same spot. But, you know, it's kind of not the only time that's really happened. So I could see how he could be frustrated and think that, you know, I think he's got a target maybe on his back. Maybe people look at him as being a little more cunning and conniving than other drivers. So when something happens, exactly right. It's well deserved. So when something happens and he's involved, maybe they look into it a little bit more and be like, could this be on purpose? And, yeah. But, you know, whether that's fair or warranted, you know, I don't know. I did see that he was pretty heated and wanted to have a talk with MBS, though.
Yeah, for sure. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And I mean, we pointed out multiple times the stewards' subjectiveness. And I think that I don't think it's malicious. I don't think it's they are intentionally picking most of the time how to. It's just, I think, a nature of the beast of having human stewards that are going to pick certain things and have biases and whatnot. But I definitely think the conversation needs to continue to try and make it more objective.
Right. More objective, more fair across the board.
So should we talk about McLaren? I want to talk about the McLaren upgrades.
Let's talk about these because I'm kind of interested to hear more about it.
So reading into everything that McLaren said, they went a direction that they didn't expect. That most of the teams didn't expect McLaren to go. What they said is that McLaren has historically been pretty fast in the fast corners and very slow in the slow corners. But it makes more logical sense to take, hey, I'm really good in the fast corners. Let's improve upon that. And McLaren went the other direction, said, we're really bad in the slow corners. We need to improve upon that. And one of them made a kind of a comment saying how much more important being good in the slow corners is, and how much more time you lose if you're slow in the slow corners than if you're a little bit off in the fast corners. The fast corners are also fast. You're only sacrificing, you know, thousands and hundreds of seconds. Slow corners, you can lose tenths of seconds. And so they really went after the slow corners to be better in those. And they did that. They said we could just add a bigger wing on the back and that would help us. But that would kill them in the straights. And so they went after their entire floor and side pod design specifically to help them in the slow corners. But by doing that, it allowed them to run less rear wing, which allowed them to also be faster in the straight lines.
Hell yeah.
And so between the two of them, they kind of found that real happy medium. And they said it made a big difference, obviously. At the same time, Ferrari is bringing an upgrade package to Imola, and they've been talking about, they've been doing test laps out at Imola already, and they've been filming them with the new upgrade package. And they quoted Fred Vasseur saying, you know, McLaren did a great job picking up a couple of tenths. And when we're all only separated by a few tenths, picking up a tenth makes a world of difference. He's like, I'm essentially, he really downplayed what he thinks Ferrari will be able to do at Imola with this upgrade package. But it seems pretty clear that they're also pretty happy in anticipating it. And the big thing that, one of the things that they said was because they're already at Imola using some of their tests, their track test time there, they are getting their setup dialed in for Imola before the race weekend even starts. So they should be ahead of the curve going into the race. So I think that's going to put Ferrari on the front foot going into this race. So it should be really interesting.
I'm interested to see that. And with you talking about McLaren and their design, I actually listened to a podcast with Zach Brown the other day. And they asked Zach Brown about Adrian Newey, and they're like, are you going to try to bring Newey to McLaren? And he said, no. He said, we're not even going to make a bid for him. We are extremely happy with, they have Rob Marshall, who actually used to work with Adrian Newey at Red Bull years ago. He's like, we're extremely happy and confident with our technical design and their personnel. And he's like, Newey and I are great friends. We go racing on the weekends, and like they apparently go play golf and all this stuff. But they also asked him if they think that Newey's going to retire. And he was like, Newey's not going anywhere. Like, he loves cars and he loves racing too much. He's not leaving the sport.
Do you see that Lewis Hamilton release saying that he thinks it'd be a privilege to work alongside Adrian Newey? And Adrian apparently responded and was like, thank you. That means the world to me. Like, they're buttering him up.
Oh, I love it. I love it. They're probably feeding, like, fattening him up with all the pasta they can get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I just think it's interesting. You have all these teams that are chomping at the bit to get him, and McLaren's like, ah, we're good.
And they're going their own direction with the design. They're not following the Red Bull, so it'll be really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this Imola race is going to be exciting, which, you know, we'll come back next week and talk about that, but they've got some updates to the track, and we haven't been here in a couple of years, so it's going to be cool.
And it's a historic old school track, so I'm pretty excited for it. The Italian tracks are always fun. They're always fast.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, speaking about that, we will be back next week to talk about the upcoming race in Imola. And we'll come back if anything pops off in this driver market. We're still waiting for that. All right, guys. Well, if you like this podcast, make sure you leave us a rating and a review and share it with a friend. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Formula_America. But otherwise, I think that might be it. Dylan, you got anything else?
That's all I got, Kirk.
All right. Well, on that note,
stay classy, America.
We'll see you next time.